97.1 FM Talk. On demand audio.
Ah, this is a little Stephen Bishop music. Used to play this on the radio a lot.
Down in Jamaica, they got lots of pretty...
I suppose it would be considered yacht rock. You know, I mentioned that documentary that came out a couple years ago. It was fantastic. And then over the summer, you might remember this, I talked about this yacht rock tribute album, if you will, that Keith Urban did. And it was right around that time, and I don't know how this happened, but I fell into a very fascinating Instagram feed of Stephen Bishop's wife, whose name is Liz Camlett, who's with us tonight to talk about the music business. She's written a book called Guard Your Publishing. She's got a fascinating Instagram feed. Liz, welcome to 97.1 FM Talk in St. Louis. How are you?
Good. Thanks so much for having me.
I don't even know really how I found you, but once I found you for the first time, and I think you were kind of breaking down the different royalties, and I think you were maybe talking about Keith in that album, and as a music fan and as someone who used to work in the music business 40 years ago, I just became fascinated by what you do, so I thought it'd be a good opportunity to get a chance to know you. So before we get into what you do online and Instagram, just give me a little background of what your background is.
Oh, my gosh, that's a long story. I don't think we have time for that.
Well, let's summarize it.
Okay, I'm from New York. I have 3 degrees. I have a bachelor's and 2 MBAs. And I started as a tour photographer and then a manager. And then I started working at labels. And then I met Stephen. And here we are 10 years later. And I've worked with pretty much everybody. I have a company doing social media management, marketing, tour management, and I work with everybody from Stephen, Jimmy Webb, the Eagles, Eric Clapton, Phil Collins, Kenny Loggins, literally everybody on the yacht rock.
That's awesome.
Over the last 10 years. And what's funny, you played on and on in the beginning. I hear that every single day of my life.
Well, one of the questions I was going to ask you is like, Liz is going to hit me up for royalties here based on what she talks about on Instagram.
I was thinking about that.
I know you are.
No, you're good. You're
no,
good.
But let me play, because listen, I got to tell you something. I did play Stephen on the radio because I'm pretty old, so I used to play his music. But let's play Keith Urban here, because Keith did a great job with this yacht rock record that came out a couple of months ago. And again, that's where I kind of, you know, met you to a certain extent on social media. And one of the first, I guess, posts that I saw was you breaking down what happens when an artist like Keith Urban covers a song by someone like Stephen Bishop. And you kind of, what's interesting about what you do, Liz, is you break down the numbers, right? And you're very honest about the math here. So, for example, with the audience, kind of run through that and the benefits of having a cover song from Keith Urban. And then there's more to it if he plays it in concert, right?
Yes. So what's funny is that album, Keith contacted us almost a year prior to him releasing that. And he just calls us up and he's like, hey, Steve, you know, I'm going to be doing this. You know, what do you think? And he sent us a demo and Steve's like, oh, I love it. He doesn't need Stephen's permission, but let's run through it. Anyone can cover a song. The song has to be released first by the original artist for anyone to cover it. You have to get a cover license. Now, Stephen owns 100% of the publishing. So let's say that song, Keith's version, which is the master version, which is the vocal, there's master and publishing. Let's say they wanted to use that in a film, TV, commercial. They have to go to Stephen, and if Stephen says no, nothing happens.
Right.
Keith puts out an album, and he has to pay a certain amount to Stephen to license it. You know, it's anywhere between 9 and 12 cents based on if it's a record, if it's digital, if it's Apple, different download percentages. And Stephen gets that amount. If it charts, he gets even more money, which is really nice. So Keith gets the master. He gets the physical album sales, but Stephen gets the publishing, which is the back end. And when Keith performs anywhere in the world, Stephen gets paid in his pajamas or when he's asleep.
And that's the part that kind of fascinated me. And I think when you were talking about that, is that something that's covered by the venues with their BMI fees or their ASCAP fees, or is that something separate?
Yes, it's something called blanket licensing. So ASCAP, BMI, and CSAC, every single venue in the world has to pay blanket licensing fees. It's anywhere from $1 a day to thousands of dollars a day based on the size of the venue. And some people are like, oh, no, I feel bad for the venue. I'm like, no, every venue knows you have to pay. So what happens? Let's say Keith performs in an arena. I actually can give you real numbers.
Yeah.
So, you know, Phil Collins had a number one hit with Stephen's song, Separate Lives, 100% publisher. And so Keith plays about the same size venues as Phil. So Stephen would get $5,000 to $10,000 every time Phil would perform that song. Every time, every night, which is crazy.
Yeah, and that adds up, right? It really does. And, yeah. You know, you kind of are really, really good at breaking some of these things down. Yesterday, I watched one of the posts that you made about, you know, whether an artist, a lot of independent artists, I'm friends with a lot of people who travel mm-hmm. across the country. They play in smaller venues, Liz, you know, 350, 400, whatever. But you were talking about how it would be for an artist to go out on their own and try to rent a venue, and you broke down the costs. And there's not a lot of margin there for profit when you start, you know, throwing travel and all this other stuff in the mix, right?
Yes, I've been doing that for a few years now, and man, that video took off. I did not expect it to take off. I guess people don't realize how much goes into it. And, you know, when Steven goes out on the road, he gets a guarantee. His agency pitches Steven to everybody, and the venues are like, okay, we can give Steven this much money, plus flights, plus hotel, plus this to cover everything most of the time. Mm-hmm. But if you're an independent artist, we actually are renting one venue in San Diego, which is Steven's hometown, because the venue didn't believe Steven could sell in his hometown. I'm like, are you serious? So whatever. We had, you know, now we're dealing with Live Nation and Ticketmaster. Mm-hmm. The fees are insane. You got to do deposits. You have to do insurance. You have to do ASL, you have people who are hard of hearing. There's so many things. Security,
all that stuff.
Life,
wow.
Per diem, food, you know, also liability insurance. If someone sues you, it's over.
So, Liz, one of the stories, I like this story too, and I don't think you can say names, but you said that you were talking to a friend who might not be a friend anymore of an artist that had a song, and a big artist wanted to cover that song, and the wife kind of ran interference and didn't even help the artist that, right?
Mm-hmm. That bothers me so much. That's a real story. And it's just like, it blew my mind. Huge artist doing arenas. They just announced an arena tour, just saying. And, you know, this artist wanted to cover a song from the 60s. I'm like, oh my God, this is it. You're winning the lottery here.
Right.
You know, and I'm like, it's not such a huge song. And sure, the artist can still record and put it out. He doesn't need permission. He just has to get a cover license. But literally the artist said, hey, I just want your blessing. Like, common courtesy. Like, how nice is that to even like approach them and give them a demo? And she didn't even tell the artist that, no, it's really going to overshadow the original. Don't do it. And I'm thinking to myself, that is really stupid, because you're going to be paying your kids, your grandkids, grandkids, grandkids times 10 bills for the rest of your life. What are you doing? It's crazy.
I was baffled by that. I really was. Liz Camlett is here. We're talking about the music industry. You know, you were talking about publishing, and I want you to kind of explore that a little bit, because one of the things that's happening, as you know, is you got big artists out there that are selling their catalogs for hundreds of millions of dollars. And once that happens, they don't have control of that, right?
Nope, it's over. A really good example of that is Paul Anka. You know, Paul Anka is a legend, but he wrote a lot of songs, especially a really big one for Frank Sinatra, My Way. And when I knew it was over for that, for Frank would be rolling over in his grave, I'm a big Frank Sinatra fan, there was a commercial about, how do I say this? It was a colonoscopy commercial.
Really?
You know? And they kept, for 3 years, it was about, you know what, literally putting something in a box and shipping it off to get tested.
I know the product. Yes, I know the product, right.
And I'm like, he has no control over it. But here's the thing. A lot of these artists are selling for 20 multiples. So let's say your catalog is making $100,000 a year. Let's break it down, right?
Okay.
Most multiples are between 14 and 20, 22, maybe 25, 26 if you're Bob Dylan. Let me talk about Bob Dylan in a second. But let's say your catalog is making $100,000 a year. They're going to give you, let's say, an advance of 15. So they're going to offer you $1.5 million forever. That means you give it away, but publishing, you actually have to pay a certain tax. It's 20% right off the top, plus additional taxes, plus everything. Let's say you're left with $1 million. Now, if you invest that, catalogs are going up 15% every year. I'm just going to do the math here. If you invest $1 million at the average of 5%, my dad's a financial advisor and business manager, so he taught me this.
Yeah.
If you're at an average of 5%, you're only making $50,000 a year. So you lose 50 grand a year by not keeping your catalog. But let's say you're Bob Dylan, right? This is really interesting. Any song that's pre-1976, it's 95 years from the date of publication, the date that you wrote the song. Anything after 1976 is life
public
of the composer.
Domain, right?
Yeah, for public domain. But after 76, it's life of the composer plus 70 years. So let's say Bob did all of his hits after 76 and he's still alive, right? Let's say he lived another 10, 15 years. That means the copyright, the public domain, it wouldn't be for another 90 years.
Yeah, that's interesting.
You give up on a 15 multiple, you know? But here's the thing with Bob Dylan. His songs are very early 60s. So he has about 32 to 33 years left for public domain. I think he sold for about a 26. So the company who bought it only has 6 years to profit on it. Smart.
Wow, that's interesting. Liz, how much does an artist, I mentioned I know a lot of these, you know, smaller artists, but they have following, some of them even, you know, travel internationally. My sense is, and I don't get into the business aspect with them, that, you know, they got a tour to make money, they have to sell merch. But when it comes to streaming, you know, I grew up in a era where we bought records and then CDs. And I hear CDs are actually making a comeback. But when it comes to streams, I mean, you get a million streams on a song, that's still not a lot of money, right?
It depends on your deal. So the average, right, is about $3,000 what you get. But here's a really good trick if people want to know actually how much people are making. So the average, it's 0.001 to 0.006. Unfortunately, most independent artists are getting on the lower end, the 0.001. The bigger artists are getting 0.004, 0.005, which is about $4,000 to $5,000 per million stream. But let's say you see an artist online and they have 5 million monthly listeners, right? You double the amount of listeners, and that's how many streams they're getting per month.
Good math there. This is helpful.
Yes.
Liz Camlett.
Yes.
Well, thank you so much for coming on here. I seriously have been just completely, you're taking up a lot of my time because I'm watching your Instagram posts and I can't turn them off. And I've just become a big fan. Let's bring Stephen Bishop here to St. Louis. Bring him back. Liz, come on.
We're actually thinking of doing I swear to God, I was having this conversation last week with our agent. We are thinking of doing a show in St. Louis, and if we are, we will stop by.
Will you get in touch? Because really, I'd love it. And I'm just fascinated by what you do. So is it, just give the, I know I follow you, but give your handle out for people who want to follow.
Oh, it's Liz Camlett. It's L-I-Z-K-A-M-L-E-T. Or just, you know, Google Liz, the music manager on Instagram and TikTok.
And for those people, I would suggest this to my artist friends, any musicians listening, the book Guard Your Publishing is something people should check into, right, Liz?
Yeah, I spent about, technically I spent 10 years putting it together, and it's Guard Your Publishing. It's everything you need to know about the music business. It really breaks down real-world topics, and I think a lot of independent artists will find value in the resources, and it really does give you how to, like, step by step.
Fascinating stuff. Liz, thank you so much. I hope to see you here in St. Louis. I appreciate it.
Of course. You have a great day.
Get more at 971talk.com.